For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And hello, Leafs Nation. Welcome to September. Patio season is coming to an end, sadly, but that means that the NHL season is just around the corner. Opening night for the Leafs is only 5 weeks away, and we are excited about that.
Absolutely. And September is also exciting because it is our anniversary month. Woohoo!
Yay!
So September 5th is the official date when we launched our first podcast, and we have done a lot in just a couple of years. So most recently, we were interviewed on the Hockey Time Machine, and that is a YouTube show. And we encourage you all to check it out on our social media or our YouTube channel, which you can find in the links at the bottom of our show notes.
Yeah. And while there, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And it was a lot of fun to be on the show. We want to thank Paul Patsku and the crew at the Hockey Time Machine for having us on. We are working to get us on there again sometime during the regular season. So we'll keep you updated on that.
Mm-hmm. So be sure to tell your family and friends to check it out as well. You can find out a lot more about us and our show, and then subscribe and listen to us as we go into our third season of this podcast.
Yeah, and one last thing before we get into this show, the final show for our season two, is just to be sure to enter our anniversary contest. Here's what you need to do to enter. You need to go to Instagram. Follow and like us on Instagram. Our handle is at LTL1917. Find our anniversary post and like it. And then third, tag two friends. That's it. And the prize is some awesome Leaf swag items and a Tim's gift card. Everybody loves Tim's. And the deadline to enter is September 30th because September is our anniversary month, technically. So we're giving some extra time for people to enter our contest.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into the show. We have to say it's been pretty quiet on the Leafs front since free agency. But as usual, we actually still have quite a lot to cover. So the first thing we're going to talk about is just a quick review of the Leafs regular season schedule and highlight some of the games we're looking forward to. We've got some Leaf talk for you, which includes some discussion on various players from Austin Matthews to Ilya Mikheyev. And we're going to round out the show with looking at the NHL division realignment with Seattle coming in. This made realignment necessary, and we'll give our thoughts on how the Leafs will do in the Atlantic again this year. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Okay, so the home opener for the Leafs regular season is set for October 13th versus the Canadiens. That should be fun, as they got screwed over recently with the whole Kotkaniemi situation there in the offer sheet, which we loved. But anyhow, we won't go there too much. Other important notes on the schedule other than the home opener: we have 13 back-to-back games, which seems a bit low. Normally, I thought it was up to 18 sometimes, 18, 19 games. So longest road trip is in January from the 6th to the 15th. And the busiest day of the week is Saturday night with 22 games, 10 home and 12 on the road. So, of course, everyone loves the home opener. We both love the home opener. But what other games are you looking forward to, Syl, for this upcoming season?
Okay, so I've picked about four and an honorable mention. So October 25th versus Carolina. Obviously, that's the first time we are facing Freddie since he's left our team. Honorable mention for that is January 3rd when they play here in Toronto, because I guess we'll need the tissue box for that one because they'll have a video tribute likely for him.
For sure.
Another
He'll probably need the tissue too. Just based on his interview that he had on The Fan, I thought the tissues were coming out then.
Another game I'm interested in is December 11th versus Chicago. That's here at home. Probably most people don't know this, but Chicago is kind of like my other sort of favorite team. And I'm a huge Jonathan Toews fan. So that will be the first time I get to see him again on the ice, which I'm looking forward to. December 19th versus Seattle, because they're an inaugural, this is their inaugural season. So I'm kind of excited to see them on the ice at Scotiabank Arena. And then, of course, April 9th versus Montreal, because I'm hoping that's an important game and that we get to put the nail in the coffin for their season. I'm hoping that's what happens.
Is that a road game, that April 9th? Or do you know that one?
I can't remember. Let me just do a little quick check here.
Yeah, she's going to do a little check there. The one versus Seattle will be definitely exciting, like the more exciting game. It's a new team, like you said. So I'm looking forward to that. And also...
a home game.
The home game? Okay. All right. Yeah. Because we'll do this in another show, but with the road trips and that's... that's going to be fun too. But when it comes to Seattle and Montreal... those are good choices. So I took a little bit different approach here with my games. So my games, my first game is basically any game versus the Senators.
I'm surprised at that. So I really want you to explain to me why you're that interested in this. But anyway,
it's not to say that I'm actually interested in going to the games or and seeing them live and watching them that much, but we are a better team than them. I just think that, like, they're an inferior team. I actually took the time to look up the players. There was two games, and I could only find the one guy, the one goalie. His name was Joel Decord. I just can't stand these players that come out of the blue, play their first game for their team versus the Leafs, and they're, like, spectacular for that one game.
And that was I know.
Right? Or they score their goal. Or they score their first goal versus the Leafs in their very first game. Of course, it has to happen, sort of thing, right? Like I just can't stand that. And I mean, they're a decent young team, obviously. Like Ottawa is, they got that Tkachuk kid, and I don't know. They recently signed Batherson, and they have all like Connor Brown. I mean, we have a soft spot for him. He played for us, sort of thing, right? And unfortunately, he probably still would be with us if the situation with our cap. But I think this is part of creating the so-called killer instinct, because we need to beat those teams that are lower than us all the time.
Like, absolutely.
We need to show up for those games that may not be that exciting, that are the grinding games, that where they're inferior teams. We need to beat them and just put our stamp on it. And that's part of getting that killer instinct. Like, that's what great teams do, like Tampa and Vegas and Colorado. Like, they beat those teams like Arizona. I don't know who else is. Detroit is still down there. Ottawa, obviously. These teams that are crap, we need to beat them, basically, and just get rid do it and get that killer instinct and not to forfeit the points, basically, right? Because all the points matter in the end. So that was my thing with the Senators.
Gotcha.
Not to say I'm excited to actually watch them, because I'm not. But the next one is November 21st versus the Islanders. Mm-hmm. And that one, again, is just, I just can't stand those Islander fans now. Like, just to do with the way they treat John Tavares.
So you want some JT redemption?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I actually, okay. again, I took the time, and I think we've only won one game, and it was only by in New York on the island. Mm-hmm. And it was by one goal. I want a decisive win for him. Like, right. I want the team to win a game that's like, I don't know, 5-1, 6-1, something like right. that, right? Even a shutout, 4-0. Like, just get it done and just shut those Islander fans up for once and say, like, forget it. Like, he chose to come here for a reason. Mm-hmm. And, like, he played well for your team. He scored some big goals for them as an Islander. So the way they treat him, I just think is ridiculous. And then the third part is the road trip. I just picked kind of like a group of games from, which is the longest road trip. I didn't know that until I looked it up for the, I guess for our points to highlight during the season, but from January 6th to the 15th. And the reason why I kind of chose that was it's right before the Olympic break. And I just think it's, now that we know that they're going to the Olympics, most likely, or is pretty much confirmed, that we need to have a good road trip then and get the most possible points before going into that break. Because we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, God forbid somebody gets injured over there. That's my, because we're going to have quite a few Maple Leafs on those international teams, right?
Yeah.
So it's something, knock on wood, it doesn't happen, but we need to get, if as long on that road trip, we need to get like a good amount of points and I guess even leading into like towards the Olympic break, we just need to feel good about ourselves going into that. And so that when we return, because when we return, obviously, it's probably going to be a little bit, I don't know, like for every team, basically, like to actually get back on the in the swing of things. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's basically my explanation for that. And then of course, I don't know if you do you agree with all that or what do you think about my
approach?
Yeah,
I think it's an interesting take. I can't really fault your rationale for any of those things. I think that it's definitely going to be important for us to bank away some points in the first half of the season for sure, because we never know what's going to happen coming back. And it's going to be a little bit of a ramp up, although, you know, it could bode well for us because generally we start well, we just don't finish strong. So it's going to be like a restart. So maybe that will be good for our team. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And then there's also this possibility of the outdoor game in Hamilton. That I don't know if I'm excited about it or not. We've been to the two outdoor games. Maybe it's because we've been to the ultimate one in Ann Arbor, right? Like, yeah. I mean, that experience was just totally wild sort of thing. And then we went to the one here, the Centennial Classic, which obviously was the first one here. So that was big too, but that one in Detroit was something else. And so going to Hamilton, I don't know.
It's versus Buffalo too. So
not the greatest of opponents. So, but we'll see about that. You never, it's not confirmed. I think it's March 13th that they're thinking of, but for the Heritage Classic game.
Well, that is scheduled. That game is a Sunday game scheduled for a 3 p.m. start. So I would be leaning towards the rumor is probably true based on that. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, anyhow, not speaking of the Olympics, but we were talking about the Olympics and talking about wanting all of our players to stay healthy when they're over there. Let's get into some Leafs talk here and talk about Austin Matthews and his health and what's going on with him.
So obviously we did say that August has been pretty quiet in Leafland, and it was funny how the Leafs tried their best to keep it that way, especially in the case of Austin Matthews, by announcing late on a Friday afternoon in August that he had surgery on that wrist that has been ailing him and that his recovery will be a minimum of 6 weeks. So on a positive note, he will be on the cover again of the EA Sports NHL 22. This is going to be his second time gracing that cover. And he joined some elite company there since only Ovechkin and Jonathan Toews have been on the cover twice.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's something that's good for him. Anyways, he seemed to be, I was watching the video.
No, he was
again.
Really stoked about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, he likes that thing. That's why I don't understand. I read in some a blog something about like how if things don't work out this year again in the playoffs, that basically some MLSE, he was an employee of MLSE or something, or former employee, of course. And they were saying like, and so this interviewer was asking him who would be the first to go from the Leafs. And they said Matthews.
What?
Don't be surprised if it's Matthews. And then I was like, you got to be kidding me. I said, right. I said, like, he's not, I mean, we're going to get into his health in a moment. I'm kind of going off on a different angle here, but, yeah. But he, like things like this EA Sports cover, like he's not going to get this attention unless he goes to a market, which he's not going, but if he goes to like the Rangers or somewhere like big LA, like a big shiny market, maybe in the States. But if he wants to go to, I mean, Arizona can't even get a friggin' arena to play in, like what the hell there, who's going to go there to give him the cover of EA Sports or all these, he recently too got some, there's some private jet, plane, contract that he signed, like for private jets or something. I forget what the name of the airline is.
I think it's Cargo Jet.
Yeah.
Something
so
like that.
Like these signings that he gets and like, he's not going to get that anywhere else except for in a market like Toronto or in a larger market like New York or Los Angeles. So I don't think personally that he wants to go anywhere else. Like I think, I mean, for me, if he were to go, if he wins one Stanley Cup in this 5-year contract that he has, and then if he decides he wants to go, whatever, I guess we'll let him go sort of thing, right? If he really can't stand it here that much, right? Go off and go live in Arizona. And
I don't know. He doesn't look that unhappy, especially since he has the private jet.
Yeah. But anyways,
going go anywhere. What does it matter? So,
but going back to his health, though, with this wrist.
Yes.
Like, I don't know which wrist, because he basically, I remember too, he had the wrist problem, I don't know which one it was, during the regular season, but then he jammed his wrist in that Habs series too, which was the other wrist. Like,
it
I actually
was the
remember.
Other wrist?
Yes. So I don't know which wrist it is that he got, obviously, and they're not going to say which one he had the surgery on, but I don't know, the way the Leafs, the medical team there handled it during the regular season. Like to me, they said that wrist, that first one that was causing the problem, it should heal itself during the regular season, even through playing. He took a few days off here and there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is why it didn't heal, obviously, in all that time from January through till, because it was bugging him before the season started too, January right through to the playoffs. And then obviously it didn't heal like the way they thought it was going to while he played. Miraculously, it wasn't healing. So I don't understand why they needed to wait over 2 months during the off season to make the decision to have the surgery. Like on August 13th is when they announced it. It's like,
well, maybe that's partly Austin, who really was not wanting to go there. Because I would say like a guy like him, who's such a proficient goal scorer, his hands and his wrists are everything. So he was doing fine with it, right? So my guess is that he was part of that decision and didn't really want to mess with it, because you don't know how you're coming back from that 100%, right?
Well, that's what I was going to say too. You're not going to, so wouldn't it be, I don't know. I just think like there was just so much time in the whole process, like, because they knew about it from January. Like you're saying, you don't know how it's going to heal over.
I just think he, during the season, like there's just no way he's getting enough downtime for it to rest. Because something like that, likely it's like a, what they call like a repetitive use injury. Yeah. So like either tendonitis or something like that, that is, that needs because, a lot of rest.
Yeah. Because like, you got to think like, we're going to, if he he could not, it could take more than 6 weeks to heal, mm-hmm. right? So 6 weeks, he would be coming in maybe just for the last game if they put him in for the preseason games. Mm-hmm. And he might have like about a week of camp before the actual season starts, but maybe that won't be the case. Maybe he won't have any training camp. He'll have to, like, he'll start right on October 13th, opening night. It will be his first game. Like, who, and then obviously you can't expect him to, like, start filling the net, like, on
he might get off to a little bit of a slower start than usual.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's going to basically screw the team over sort of thing, right? Because we depend on his scoring, right?
I don't think it's going to screw the team over early on in the season that way. I don't really think so.
I don't know. Well, at the end of
the other thing, too, is that he is, it's his hands. So the good news is he can skate. He can push his body. He can, I mean, obviously you got to be in game shape, which you can't get into unless you play games, but he can still get his stamina up there, all of the cardio. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. And like he's somebody such else a natural, I don't really think that it's going to be so bad that if he doesn't score, we're doomed. That's not the case, because it hasn't been the case during the regular season either. Whenever he's been out for any length of time, other people have stepped up. So we haven't lost extra games when he doesn't play. So I don't really see why that would happen at the start of the season.
Yeah, I can see that. But we need somebody to, let's just say, I mean, it's going to take him a few games, let's just say that, like, to get back into the groove sort of thing. And for those few games, somebody has to pick up the scoring. But
yeah,
the
so fans, what if Willie could do it?
Well, the thing is, though, going into our next player that we're going to talk, or I want to talk about, is this Mitch Marner. Mm-hmm. If the fans keep bashing Mitch Marner the way they have been all summer long, that they think that Mitch Marner is the cause of the Maple Leafs' demise for in the playoffs, at least that's the way I'm seeing it. Like, they're thinking like it's all his fault, basically, that the Leafs cannot win the playoffs. Meanwhile, he was, if you remember, how many times have we played the Bruins? I didn't have the time to look it up, I think twice, right? With mm-hmm. with Marner, right? With the two times that we've lost to them. So, but in that first playoff series, actually, yeah, because that was his rookie season.
Yes.
And they were going on about Mitch Marner saying, or we were as fans and Leafs mm-hmm. Nation, about how he blocked that shot fearlessly. Remember how he blocked that shot? It was in, I don't know if it was
that
overtime.
That was the second time we played with, against time? Them. The second time, yeah.
But anyway.
That wasn't the first
year. Everybody was saying that how, oh my God, he gave his body up, and it was just like he was the best thing of being a Maple Leaf, like a best Maple Leaf. Now all of a sudden he's garbage. Like it's just like,
well, I mean, to be fair, he had a really rough playoff this year. He had those three, like, or those two boneheaded over the glass penalties.
Yeah. No, I'm not
so
saying that
he didn't really show up, but the problem is that is what. That's basically the taste that was left in Leafs Nation's mouth after that, right? So there's been nothing to replace that since, which is why that is the living memory that's there, which is why people can't get over it, because that's all they can remember. It's like they go to bed at night and it's that puck going over over the glass over and over and over
and
again.
And his body language, too. Right? Yeah, you could tell. Like, that's something he needs to definitely work on to block out this stuff and just try and get away from this social media. I was thinking to myself, though, back in the day when we were watching, let's just say, the games when we were in our youthful days, the only media out there was the print media and the TV. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. And I remember the players back then, they were like complaining too, like, oh, Toronto, there's so much like media, blah, blah, blah. But like that really was so much easier. Like that's mm-hmm. all there was to.
Yeah. Cause at the end of the day, you know, when those people weren't in front of your face, you could get away from it.
Yeah.
You know?
There was no bashing. Like you didn't hear the fans. Really, at that time, it went through the media. Like, that's how the fans' voices were heard. Because there was no
actual games.
Or at the actual games.
The boos were, like, so crazy. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. This team has not heard that. not the way, like, you know, a guy like Larry Murphy had to hear that, you know?
Yeah.
Like every time he touched the puck, there were boos, you know? And like that guy, you know, the fans, they did it very, very vocally at the games at that time.
But I think we need to remind Leafs Nation too, because just before we got on the show here, I looked it up and Mitch Marner in the regular season. Okay, I know it's all about the playoffs, whatever, but you got to get to the playoffs, as Mike Babcock used to say. You got to play the regular season and actually get into the playoffs by playing well in the regular season. And Mitch Marner is first in points on the team out of the last four seasons, three times, three out of the past four seasons. And he was second in that other time. So if we don't have him as our like leading point man on this team three out of the four seasons,
we're not in the playoffs.
I don't think we are in the playoffs. No. Mm-mm. So careful what you wish for, basically. And yeah, stop bashing the guy and let him just play the game. And he's probably going to be even on Team Canada. So, I mean, right. And they're actually saying being on Team Canada that it might be something even more to, I guess, to get him out of this thing, I guess, being so negative with the fans. I don't know.
I agree that would be good for him because it's a new experience. He'll be playing with some different people. I actually think it might be good for his game too, because I do kind of feel like him and Austin, yes, they love playing together, but they sort of are like, they could be a little bit of a crutch for each other in a way also, because they're always sort of together. So you don't have to necessarily grow as a player as much when you're in the same scenario, same situation. They're not getting outside their comfort zone. Let's just say that. Okay. Yeah. So this is probably going to be good for both of them. I mean, I'm not happy that we have to see Austin on the other side of the ice for that, but but yeah, so I think if they both do make the team, obviously Austin is going to be definitely on Team USA. I think it could be good for them, good for their game, and that is going to bode well for our Leafs also.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just going to be good growth for both of them. Right. But I agree with you that it's totally unfair the way people are ripping on him. But I do think it's because it's that final picture is what's in their head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said, he very plainly, you can see how he's feeling, whether he's super excited and happy, which is the Mitch we love, or the down in the dumps Mitch, which is, you know, the guy who's seems a little bit shaky.
He needs to control that a bit better. But we should also mention he did get engaged. So congratulations to Mitch Marner. Or at least we think he did on Instagram. He did post some pictures. So like he didn't really say it right out loud there or whatever, or say anything. But we think he did. So congratulations to him and his fiance. And so next
we're going to talk about a little bit about Ilya Mikheyev. So I guess the question is, should we be trading him? He is a UFA at the end of this season. And as we know, our track record for players in their final year of their contract and getting something for them isn't that great. But he is more the type of guy that Dubas would be more likely to use as an asset, especially towards the trade deadline. Anyway, what do you think about the potential for that?
I mean, I brought this up only because I chose to talk a bit about him. We've talked about him before on other shows too, because I guess going back to February, I don't know. I like that connection we have to when we met him on that Campbell's Soup promotion. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. I get this attachment. I shouldn't get so attached to these things, right? Like, anyways.
You're worse than Kyle Dubas that way, geez.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I just don't think, like, we're not that strong on the left side still. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know what we have with all these people are so excited. I haven't read any of the articles, but this Michael Bunting guy that we have, like, a lot of people are excited about him. But other than him, like, I don't know. I mean, I prefer him. Ilya Mikheyev over Pierre Engvall, basically, is what it is.
Yeah.
I'd rather they trade Pierre Engvall if they could than Ilya Mikheyev, because I just think the only thing that I guess as a fan, that we get frustrated with is the fact that he hasn't finished. Like his opportunities,
I was going to say that.
There was so many opportunities that he had last season, like breakaways, partial breakaways, and like he just doesn't finish. But then I read another article on him, and it's true. This was his sophomore season basically last year. So I mean,
after a horrific wrist injury,
So
and that is something that I think you can't count that out as far as, you know, messing with his accuracy. So hopefully another, you know, season removed from that over the summer, working on it, maybe more and, therapy.
Yeah. And he's playing for a new coach too. Like that was pointed out as well, right? Because he only came back from that injury last season, the wrist injury. He came back just for like a game or two versus Columbus in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And he was a non-factor basically for that. And that's where those few games was his first opportunity to get, I guess, an idea of working with Sheldon Keefe too, right? So that makes a difference too, like if you need, and going into your sophomore season and all that. So I'm really hoping that it's just the sophomore slump and that, I mean, I don't know, I guess a lot of teams too, if he ends up playing well and finally getting the scoring touch around the net a little bit, like some people use, or some teams would use that as a like a trade chip, I guess, like to at the deadline to because he is going to be a UFA. I don't know, I think he's Keefe is using him more as a defensive player, right? Or he did anyways last season, as opposed to Babcock when, I guess, before the horrific wrist injury, like he was playing a little bit more of a offensive style or being on as an offensive threat on the team. But so it's a, I don't know, it just depends, I guess. And with all the changes of the, I don't know what you call it, the deck chairs sort of thing around the team as to who he's going to play with on the third line, right?
Like, right.
That's the other thing. So, but if he can get that scoring touch with the opportunities that he has, I think it'll be good. But the other thing, I guess, is what's going to happen with the D. Basically, there's still no update with Morgan Riley. I don't know. To me, I was looking up the possibilities, like for a potential extension, a contract extension, and like a comparison of players. And man, like money.
No, basically the signings that happened this summer, like I looked at the comparisons before these signings happened and they were more reasonable even at that. He was in the $7 million range. But now the contracts that were given out this summer to the defensemen that were signed.
Yeah.
That really might screw us.
Yeah, but.
And for the potential of him coming back here.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know that I consider him on the same level as Zach Werenski, Dougie Hamilton, Darnell Nurse. I don't know. He's kind of a different.
Well, what about Seth Jones? Seth Jones hasn't really done anything.
No. But then I don't know how old he is. Because Riley, too, I was looking at the age factor. Like Riley is 27 years old. So he's about the same as Dougie Hamilton, I think. Mm-hmm. He's closer to him. He'll turn 28 next March. And so I was looking too at around like similar age, I was thinking, right? Or that, but I couldn't really see like a real good comparable that way. But these other numbers, like anything, like you said, it's has to be around the $7.5 million at the most to work it. And there has to be other moves involved even with that. Like, really. But the only other thing is, like, I mean, if they do decide to deal him, like, or if they have, if Kyle Dubas already has in his mind, like, it's not going to work out, like, they've probably been having conversations, even though nobody's said anything about it, like, with his agent. Mm-hmm. But
well, sometimes no news is good news.
True. Yeah. But I was thinking maybe they think that Mikko Lehtinen guy, he's going to be a UFA next year again, that we lost to, that we traded to Columbus. I think he traded him. But I remember when he was here, like he didn't really get an opportunity because there was no space for him being and they said that, from what I remember, they said he was a similar style as Riley. being more of an offensive.
And he could be cheaper.
And I was saying, and he's becoming a UFA next season. And I'm thinking in my back of my mind, maybe that's like, depending on how the negotiations are going, like maybe that's what Kyle Dubas is thinking, to kind of go that route. But I don't know. And then we also have the problem with, or I get, to me, I consider it a problem, is with the sixth defenseman, like as to with Bogosian gone back to Tampa. Like, is Kyle Dubas comfortable going with Dermott and Sandin as the third pairing and Sheldon Keefe? Like, I don't know. I just think that they need
more
of a...
Well, I guess we're going to see.
Yeah, but I think
They're going to get a shot, obviously.
Yeah, I just think we need more of a... We need some size on that third pairing too, right? Like Bogosian brought that. We don't have a lot of nastiness with the exception of Jake Muzzin.
Right. Right. That's true.
Like, that's it. And Bogosian brought that.
But even with him though, like I don't find that he used his body as much as he could have even. There were definite moments, which I think we highlighted all of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
He definitely, didn't find him a bruiser necessarily as far as, you know, checking people, more of getting that big body in front of people and not being able to be as movable, more like that. But you're right. Like that's a pretty slight third pairing in Dermott and Sandin.
Yeah. And I looked at who's left of the UFAs that are left over, which isn't too many, like to sign for Demet. And there is still Ben Hutton, who we actually picked up from Anaheim. We traded a fifth round pick for him and at the deadline. And he only played four games. I don't even remember the four games that he played, like to say how he played or if I don't know. I guess he was okay. He definitely is like a bruiser type of defenseman, big guy. He's from here. And he obviously wouldn't cost that much. It definitely under $1 million. I don't
know. For depth kind of thing.
Yeah. But he's still out there. He's the only one that I could see that. But to me, I thought to myself, they probably would have signed him by now if it was going to, like, why
would
they?
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah. If they wanted to go that route. But so.
I guess we could move on to what we're going to talk about next, which is what's going on with our prospects, because this is all about depth for us, right? So
yeah,
I want to note that the development camp, which normally is held in late July, from what we know now, will be held from September 9th to the 14th. So maybe there's somebody that will spark some interest there. Anyway, this is where the Leafs prospects get to show management what they got, and you can find out more information about this in an article from Leafs Nation, and the link will be in our show notes. There's still a lot of questions, obviously, and we haven't even talked about any of the new player additions, really, or guys like Nick Robertson. What's going to happen with him? Is he going to make the team this year? A lot of teams are in similar situations with a lot of questions. So let's get into the division realignment and how we think the Leafs are going to do in the Atlantic.
Yeah, so the realignment, basically it affects the Central and Pacific divisions, with Arizona moving to the Central Division to join Nashville, Winnipeg, Minnesota, Colorado, St. Louis, Dallas, and Chicago. And then the Kraken are inserted into the Pacific Division with the West Coast teams. I'm sure everybody out there knows the West Coast teams out there in California, Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary. But
and San Jose.
And
Anaheim.
Yeah, the California teams. I basically
grouped
them together.
Yeah.
Our future road trip.
That's right. So, yeah, obviously this realignment doesn't affect the Leafs in any way or any of the other teams at the Atlantic or Metropolitan, but let's talk a bit about how we think the Leafs will do this year being back in the Atlantic.
Yeah, so again, I don't know. I don't know why everybody is so excited about Boston being so great. Like, the team I'm more concerned about is Florida when it comes to us. I mean, I know we're saying like to talk about how we think the Leafs are going to do, but it's really about the other teams, in my opinion, as to how they're going to progress so that, how it's going to affect us, basically, because they're strong. Like Florida is a really strong team. And I just think like they've been, I mean, they've only made the playoffs twice in I don't know how many years. They lost both times, but you got to think like with so many, and they got Joel Quenneville now as their coach for a season. But you got to think with those players that they have, like they got the Huberdeau and the Barkov, and now they've picked up Sam Reinhart and Sam Bennett from both Sams, from one from Calgary, one from Buffalo. Like they got a pretty good squad. The only thing there that always is kind of messed up is their goaltending with Bobrovsky. Like that, you don't like if he would just play up to what he did in Columbus, like they would. They'd probably be already making noise in the playoffs, but I'm worried about that.
Plays like he normally does. Like he's not the most consistent. He's like, if you can have a streaky goaltender, he's the guy, he's the poster child for that. Like he has these real good streaks and then streaks where he just falls right off the map. So,
yeah. But we have to like we obviously have to match that. Like that's like if we wanted to be in the top three, if we don't want to be a wild card team like that, that's the thing. Like Florida is a team.
But I do find that we typically, because Florida plays a similar kind of style to us, I think, and they have similar issues in some instances.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like we generally play them fairly well. So
yeah,
I don't
but we
know.
Don't I don't I didn't look it up, but I don't think our record is that great with them. I think the one game, maybe it's because I remember we lost the one game where we ended up in the private box at Scotiabank Arena. And we were playing Florida that night. I remember we didn't play too well that night. That wasn't good, but maybe that's my memory. But
yeah.
But going back to Boston, though, like I don't see – like they have question marks in goal, too, with Rask. Mm-hmm. Rask hasn't even signed yet, and he's not getting any younger. I don't even know how old he is. And they did sign Linus Ullmark from Buffalo, but I mean, he's only played maximum amount of games he's played in an NHL season for Buffalo was 37 games. Mm-hmm. So you don't know really what you have in him either.
But he was the goalie that we kind of coveted.
Yeah. We did.
For our tandem.
Yeah. For our tandem. But whether or not, I don't know. I think, like, obviously, their forwards are really good. I'll give them that, right? Because they know
perfection line.
Yeah,
but are they going to stay perfect forever?
But the thing is, that's the thing, though. They have the killer instinct, as they say. They've won, right? So that forward group, they know.
And the
how
one
to
thing
win.
with Boston that I always is in the back of my mind is that they basically can decide within 5 minutes to turn the tables on you. And that's it. So they could be down. And then in the last 5 minutes, they're like, okay, we're going to play now. And then they just get it done.
Yeah.
Like they can just ramp up in a moment.
Yeah.
You know, then you're right. That's what we don't have yet.
We don't have that. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then their D basically to me is a little bit questionable. Yes, they have Charlie McAvoy there as their leader now. But I mean, Torrey Krug left for St. Louis, Chara's gone. And I mean, it's a strong defense, but I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's like so much better than us. But to me, again, it's that experience of being a winner. That's what makes a difference for them. And I guess maybe everybody is thinking that's why they're better than us. I don't know. I guess so.
And I guess the thing is that, you know, have they got worse enough and have we got better? That's really the question, because I don't think most of us in Leafs Nation, I mean, they're going to have to prove it to us whether or not our team is better now than they were last year, you know? And I kind of feel like we needed to feel like we're taking a definitive step up versus, you know, them taking a step back, which remains to be seen. It's all like we were saying before, it's all kind of question marks.
Yeah.
But
Tampa,
you know,
Tampa is the best team like that again, even though they're going to have challenges too, because they're going to have to definitely get some LTIR or something, because they're almost $7 million over the cap right now.
That's more than that's potentially two players.
Yeah.
Or one big one, which they don't want to lose.
Yeah. And
but then again, though, they proved last year that they could play without pretty much their best player all season long, get it done and bring him back. And then, yeah, you know.
Yeah. And honorable mentions to the Red Wings and the Senators, but I don't really have them anywhere like to be making playoffs. I mean, they'll probably make a strong, again, that's the killer instinct. As long as we beat those teams. Like when we have to, I mean, obviously maybe we won't win them all, those games versus the Red Wings and the Senators, but the majority of them, we need those points so that in those tougher games versus the other, like Tampa, Boston, Florida, so that we can get into the top three. I'm hoping that we can get, I don't know if we can get into second, but I'm still thinking that we'll be, we're not going to be a wild card team, but we'll get the, like the third spot, I think, in our division. I'm thinking again. Well,
that's to me the worst spot. Like I almost wonder.
I know. Wow. Yeah. It's the worst because we want home ice, right? Because this year with the fans being back in the building, like it's just going to, it's just so much of an advantage. I think it would be for us. But well, for not just for us, but for any team to have the home ice in the playoffs. But I don't know. I think we're still going to be third. So, yeah, but there's lots of time for that because we're going into an 82-game new season. And the Leafs are going to look a lot different. And Kyle Dubas still has to make a move or two because the Leafs are still, we are still over the cap by $1.4 million, which, so he hasn't made any moves since the last time we were on in August, last podcast, but they need to be compliant by making a trade, putting a player on LTIR, or assigning two players to the minors is how it goes. And but the good news, I guess, is 10 other teams, I looked on capfriendly.com, 10 other teams are basically in the same situation. So there's lots of
moves. And a lot of them worse than us, actually, even too.
Yeah, yeah.
So
lots of moves to come around the league.
That's right. So a couple more things we want to discuss before we go or at least mention. Last Christmas, we donated a couple of special edition Tim Hortons Barbie dolls to Toy Mountain. And Tim Hortons reported from the sales of the dolls that they're donating $215,000 to the Hockey Canada Foundation Hockey is Hers campaign. And we are so proud that we had some small, tiny hand in that. So, and speaking of the Hockey Canada, we want to give a shout out to Team Canada, the women's team, for winning the gold at the Women's World Hockey Championship last week, yeah, which is just fantastic and beautiful.
Yeah.
Roofer.
Yeah, that was so amazing. By Marie-Philippe Poulin. Oh my God. Yeah. I was just like, yeah, wow. I was like, that was what a shot. But
that's right. And yeah, speaking of Team Canada, also the IIHF and the NHL confirmed that they have agreed to a deal that will have the NHL players participating in the 2022 Beijing Olympics. So that's good news for the players. Exciting to be able to watch hockey at a high level in the Olympics again. So,
and just don't any Maple Leafs get injured.
That's right.
So, the next big date for the players to, for our Leaf players to report to camp, which we believe is September 15th, although nothing really has been put official from what we've seen of the Leafs, but September 9th is the development camp, the start of the development camp. So normally it happens a week after, so that would be September 15th. We'll be back with our next episode. We're back to our twice monthly episode. So, September 22nd is our next episode. And before we go, we do want to thank all our listeners. And we'd love to hear from you. If you have any thoughts on what we talked about on the show, you can DM us on social media or email us at ladiestalkingleafs@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Our handle is at LTL1917.
Mm-hmm. And another way to connect with us is at Ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can also support us there by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce our show and making it even better for you. So you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And all, as always, thank you to our healthcare workers for everything that they do and can, or have done and continue to do. And yeah, as we go into this fourth wave, it's a challenge once again, but we're going to get through it. And it's thanks to our healthcare workers. And thank you for listening. And please follow or subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite app. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Podcast Addict, we would appreciate it if you could take the time to leave us a review. We would love to get your feedback on the show, and it will give us a lot more exposure as an outlet for lead content.
Mm-hmm. And definitely share with your family and friends. Anybody in Leafs Nation, you know lots of Leaf fans. So please share with everybody.
For sure.
And as always, we would like you to stay safe and well. And everybody, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks with the start of training camp.
Yay!
Go Leafs, go! Go.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.